This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and finally, it's game day.
It's a trap, again.
Okay. That's an interesting way to start, but yeah, I mean, I guess
it
is. But they're playing, finally.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We really haven't given enough justice, I don't think, to going on the road and beating Penn State. We're recording this Sunday night. I know it's going to air Monday night. That's why we're saying today's game day. But we don't know. Maybe they squeak back into the top 25 after that road win at Penn State. You know, that's as good as a win gets in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would say that, but Penn State just lost to Indiana today as well. So I don't really know how good of a win it's going to be considered.
I mean, as it stands, when it happened, it was a road win against a top 10 team in your conference.
Yeah, and Penn State isn't as good on... I mean, they're pretty good on the road, but they're much better at home as well. Yeah, on the way that the Hoosiers maybe pick up a win, but I don't think Illinois gets in the rankings after this
okay,
week.
Okay, maybe not.
Just based off the Indiana loss.
But they have a pretty busy week. They play three times this week. Nebraska on Monday, Northwestern on Thursday, and then on Sunday they play Indiana. So this is a pretty big week to take advantage. Three games all in the state of Illinois, and then two games at home, starting with tonight's game against Nebraska.
Yeah, look, if you're Illinois, things have been looking pretty up for you. Obviously, the Rutgers game was a bummer, but you're without Io. Io comes back and has an amazing game against Penn State. Maybe you're looking down the schedule and you're seeing Indiana, Ohio State, but you know, you gotta bring yourself back to reality. You're playing Nebraska this week, a team that the Illini in the past 5 years has struggled, regardless of Nebraska's been good or not. We struggled against Nebraska for some reason, and this team has probably the best coach they've had in a long time. Look, you can't really look over this Nebraska team.
Yeah, they haven't won since January 7th. They've been in quite a rut, and they've played a lot of good teams and lost. You know, Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, now Illinois, you know. And they're on the road. They haven't been great on the road. They've really had a tough time this year. So I get where you're coming from. Might be a potential trap game for them. Second to last in the Big Ten, 0-9 on the road. They have yet to win a road game this season. So that should play into Illinois' favor. They've lost 11 games in a row. But at the same time, like you said, trap, it's a trap. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, no offense to Tim Miles. He was an RA coach at Nebraska, but Fred Hoiberg is the best coach, an elite coach, and now at Nebraska, has a chance to really turn that program around. Unfortunately, at the same time that Brad Underwood's working on turning the Illini around. But look, the trap game always is you're looking at on the schedule, you're maybe looking towards the Big Ten tournament, and you slip up on a game. This hopefully won't happen, but if you look at what happened in the Big Ten today, there was a couple of cases of that. Maryland lost at Ohio State. Wisconsin beat Rutgers at home, and Wisconsin's looking really good. They're a top four now team, but you know, if you're the Illini, you got to focus on the now, which is Nebraska, and beat them. And you look at this lineup that Nebraska's bringing out; it's nothing too special. Hanif Chatham had 12.5 points per game. He's all right. Cam Mack, you'll remember him from last year, averaging 12 points a game as a sophomore. He's pretty good. And this one's a fun name. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, guaranteed, but more or less the future of Nebraska is Thor Bjarnason.
Okay, all right. Well, Yeah, they have some good pieces. They're definitely not on the same level as Illinois. Illinois is much deeper, much more talented, so in theory they should win. Back at home, I understand where you're coming from. It does have the looks of a trap game, but Illinois knows how competitive the Big Ten is. They know that no game or no win is easy to come by. So I think Illinois will be fine and be prepared and be ready to beat a team they should tonight.
And I would like to say this too, and I know we emphasized it in the Champagne Room article, but Thor's a hard matchup. He's a 6'6 forward who could hit a three. You know, you obviously think, oh, well, you could put Iowa on him, but I just don't think that that's the matchup you want to go with.
Monte, probably.
Yeah, you could put Monte. That's right. Actually, Monte would be a great fit for him. You got to guard the perimeter with him, and
yeah,
he could dominate down low. So that's a matchup nightmare for Underwood. But other than that.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at Illinois.
Top down, Illinois is better.
Io and Kofi are both matchup nightmares for Nebraska. And then Illinois has so many other pieces that can attack you, whether Georgie has a night, Trent has a night, Feliz, Alan Griffin. You know, if DeMonte is knocking down shots, this team is, like, very deadly. So, I mean, Illinois has a lot of different ways they can beat you. I'm personally going to be looking for Illinois to win a game without being so heavily on Io's shoulders.
Here's a weird question for you. Does Georgie make himself back or get himself back in the lineup this week? At any point?
I'm a big fan of the if it's not broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. And the lineup, what did they go Io, Trent, Feliz, DeMonte, Kofi?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Griffin was the
six. I like that. Griffin was the six, or Georgie the six, Griffin the seven, Kipper the eight probably. I don't mind that at all. I like that lineup. I think Georgie off the bench almost adds a little bit of depth, you know?
Yeah, but you lose depth at the guard position.
You lose depth at the guard position, but if Tevian Jones can step up, you get that depth right back, I think.
Yeah, the only problem I have with it, with the new lineup, or... Yeah, actually, I don't think Feliz started over, right?
Yeah, Feliz...
It wasn't Allen.
Allen was off the bench.
Yeah. You lose a guard off the bench and you add a forward. You start with a small lineup. I personally would keep Georgie in. I would just say,
yeah, screw it. I could see that.
You're going to find yourself in a problem again, like they did in Rutgers, when you have to... I mean, obviously, Iowa's on that game, but when you start losing... when you start starting more guards, and maybe someone gets injured, you got to go to your sixth or seventh guard, mm-hmm. which is... Tyler Underwood.
Right.
You don't want to have that situation.
You don't want that. At the same time, I think keeping Georgie off the bench, letting your really athletic playmakers get out there at the beginning, and then, you know, throwing Georgie in after getting some time to rest, it adds a little bit of depth in terms of, you know, all season long, Brad has been trying to make sure either Kofi or Georgie is fresh at the same time. Starting Georgie on the bench makes that really easy. Because after the game starts, those two are rarely on the court at the same time for a while. And I think that makes it a little bit easier. I think you maybe go for Georgie on the bench one more game, see how it works. But I think Georgie's minutes are going to be up against Nebraska either way. I think he might not start, but he'll get starters' minutes.
I could see that. I just think the Thor matchup is going to be a little bit troublesome for the Illini, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't even want to put Io on him, because Io, I think, could get bodied down low. That being said, did you see the photo of the Io transformation?
Yeah,
he's grown a lot.
Yeah, he has. He's a lot. I know he got criticized a lot for being small and thin. He's not anymore.
No.
He is. I mean, Coach Fletch is doing great things with all of those guys. Georgie had a crazy transformation. Kofi's got a six-pack now, like...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I just want to throw this really quick in there before we go back to a lineup and eventually predict this game. Io really, I think, and Fletch, too. When Fletch turns these guys into these bigger men, guys who are big basketball players...
Mm-hmm. Big-bodied, strong.
I think it helps their body. I look at Io's recovery is quick.
Yeah,
I think
that's
a lot
good
of that
point.
Goes to Fletch building that body so that he doesn't tear his ACL.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. We don't give him nearly enough credit for what he does with these guys. I mean, think about Allen last year compared to this year. Allen was so thin and scrawny, and this year he's built and extremely athletic. I don't know. I think you bring up a really good point. Fletch has done great work for a lot of these guys that probably helps them to stay healthy and be more conditioned and play more minutes. I mean, Io came back on a bad knee and played 36 minutes, 37. Yeah, right. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, that goes back to, like I said, I mean, that goes back to Fletch and him being a good strength and conditioning coach, right? This, yeah. The conditioning part that he's very good at. Obviously, you see the transformation, but the conditioning is fantastic as well. Should we get in some score predictions?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll start us off because I got the Penn State one right, and I'm going to keep talking about it.
You should always. I'm so glad that you're right. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're correct.
All right, so Nebraska against Illinois. I think this is the game Illinois finally plays a team that they're supposed to beat and really beats them. You know, I mean, we beat Minnesota when they came here, but we only won by like 8. I think at least double-digit win for Illinois. I'm going to say Illinois grabs the W 71-59. And I think Io has a good game, but they don't rely on him as much. I think Kofi, double-double, and then 10 points from each Trent Frazier and Alan Griffin.
Yeah. I think this is the first blowout that I really want to predict.
Yeah. I didn't go quite blowout. I went firm win, steady win, but I could see a blowout.
I've wanted it all Big Ten season. Like, I wish we could just beat the team down. And I think you finally get it in these next two games. Maybe not Northwestern. That last game was close.
But, yeah.
Nebraska, I think, is the one. Illini win 75-62. Solid 13-point win. Everyone plays. You see a little bit more from the bench, I think, in this game.
Tyler Underwood knocks down a couple threes.
Yeah, maybe Verdonk gets in this game.
I think he's injured.
I agree. I think that's the reason why he hasn't been in at all.
I saw him walking.
It's a weird story.
I saw him walking to class in a boot. So he must be injured. I don't think he's just putting a boot on to walk to class. So
it's Kawhi must be level hurt. Weird, in my
yeah.
opinion. Everyone was like, where the heck is he?
Yeah.
No one really said, I mean, I'm sure they said that he had an injury, but like, almost been like, where the heck has he been all season?
Maybe this is Tev's 15-point games. Yeah. Maybe Hamlin comes in and throws it down a little bit. We'll see. I think, like you said, a lot of guys are going to get minutes today, and it's not going to be a game that Io carries. I really don't think. I mean, if he has to, he will, and he'll make the baskets that he makes. But
I don't think we'll get to that point.
I don't think it'll get to that point. I'm with you there. Moving on, the baseball team had a really solid weekend. They went out east and played 3 games over the weekend, won 2 out of 3, and those 2 wins against very impressive teams. They beat Coastal Carolina and West Virginia over the weekend. Ty Weber pitched great. Aiden Maldonado got a save, and Cole Kirchhyper, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right, started on Sunday and got the win. Pretty good showing out of those guys.
Yeah, he had the pitching was bad, I think, in that first week, and you're seeing right away Hartlib going to some other guys. Aiden Maldonado originally started but came in relief and had a really solid 3 innings in that game yesterday.
Yeah, 3 West inning Virginia. Save, you don't see that all the time.
You don't. Look, if you could find these guys in the correct position, and like you said, Kirchhyper had a great weekend too. We didn't see him in that first week. That right away, you knew the story at the beginning of the year for Hartlib was
find the rotation.
You got to figure out the rotation. Ty Weber is your ace. You knew
for
that.
Sure.
You knew that coming in for, like, no question. Ty Weber's going to make an MLB team very happy someday.
Probably, yeah, for sure. And I mean, he said that there were 6 guys that they were confident could get them quality innings starting. It was Ty Weber, Tyra Barczyk, Cole Kirchhyper, Aiden Maldonado, Jimmy Barnett, and then who else do we have? And that's it. They've only played 6 games. I just listed all the guys who have started. And Weber seems like the for sure number one. I think Rabarczyk and Cole Kirchhyper are the 2 and the 3.
I agree.
And then I think what you've seen from this weekend is Maldonado might find his niche in the high leverage bullpen situations.
Yeah.
He's got the stuff to be a starter. He might not have the command yet.
Yeah, that
he's only a sophomore.
Into the season, I just had the feeling he just didn't have the experience yet. You know, he had a couple of games last year. He was a Tuesday, Thursday starter, but you just when you saw him last year, it didn't seem like he was ready for the big time. You know, starting yet.
Yeah.
I think he got thrown in a little bit early, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe. Because the stuff is great.
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's a great pitcher. He's gonna be a good pitcher. He's gonna probably be the ace in 2 years.
Yeah.
But he's just sure. not ready yet. Give him a little bit more time in the bullpen. That's what they did with Ty Weber.
Yeah, and then Ty Weber's been starting now for 3 years. Right. So, and Weber looks great. 11 innings leading the team. 9 strikeouts in those 11 innings. Only giving up 1 earned run. Garrett Acton looks great. 2 saves in his 2 appearances. Yet to give up a run in any way, shape, or form. Offensively, team as it stands right now looks to be led by Brandon Kamiya. 412 batting average through 17 at-bats, and his on-base percentage is .583. He's playing very well.
Yeah, we saw a lot from him last year, and then we didn't towards the second half of the season.
And then saw him at the very end once Troike injured his thumb. But
right.
He's a guy that it seemed like, you know, when we talked to Dan Hartlib, he's the guy that Kamiya's the guy Hartlib really wants to see take that step this year.
Mm-hmm.
And through 6 games, it looks like he is.
You need the guy to fill the shoes, right?
And he has huge shoes to fill in Massey and Troike.
Right. Someone has to be the Michael Massey of this team.
Right.
It is Brandon Kamiya. At the beginning of the year, I honestly didn't think that would happen. I thought maybe it would be Cam McDonald who'd fill those shoes.
Or Kellen Sarver.
Or Kellen Sarver, too. But it has been Brandon Kamiya. I think last year, he was maybe a guy who got thrown in, like I said, a little bit too early.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But now he's ready for the Big Ten play and Division One baseball for the best Big Ten team.
Yeah. And we saw last year Kellen Sarver and Cam McDonald both kind of anchor the lineup in the 4 and 5 spot. They've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start this year. The team has actually been led, aside from Kamiya, by some transfers in Taylor Jackson, Alex Steinbach, and Nathan Aide, all transfers from junior colleges that have come in and really performed. Jackson's hitting .320, Steinbach's hitting .353, and Nathan Aide has a homer and 4 RBIs already this year. So those guys have kind of been anchoring the lineup, but once Sarver and McDonald kind of get back into it, this team has a pretty long lineup.
Yeah, you're 2 weekends in. There's still a lot to happen. Kamiya could go, you know, 0-9 in the next weekend.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different story. But look, right out the bat, Brandon Kamiya looks good. That's the one thing I think. If you came in season and told me Kamiya is going to be hitting .300, I'd be like, that's great.
Yeah,
this season,
that's what you need.
For sure be postseason potential. Like we said, the pitching, I think, is the most important part of the season now.
Mm-hmm.
Rybarczyk, I will say, got robbed last weekend. He should have gotten the win, but
yeah.
Some blown saves against Seton Hall, I think, right?
Yeah, he's leading the team with 11 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He's pitching well.
It happened well. And look, the guy who might be the best player on the team, Garrett Acton, has had a couple appearances, and he's looked perfect as well.
Yeah. Lot to expect from this Illini team. We'll continue to add them in during this podcast. We'll try to get and hear from the players and coaches a little bit more, which we'll get to in the future. But for now, I think that does it for this episode of Oski Talk. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the game tonight, Illinois against Nebraska. But for now, so long from us, ILL.
I and I.